You know, I think you're going to see a steady theme on the show today, much like every day with Steve. Jeff Wiggins filling in for Steve Gruber, by the way, if you recognize the difference in the voice coming through your speakers or headphones on this beautiful morning. Of course, you can reach Steve on social media at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and of course, anything else can be found at stevegruber.com. But we just finished talking about the heavy hand of the state of California, but that's not limited just to the state of California. We see it happening across the country, especially when it comes to discussion of infrastructure. I think we can all agree that part of our infrastructure is this use of broadband expansion, internet accessibility, what have you. It's part of our infrastructure. It's part of our everyday society. Unfortunately, the president, many of the left-leaning politicians in Washington feel that that is a role the state has to occupy. Joining me to talk about that is the president of American Commitment, an organization dedicated to restoring and protecting free markets, economic growth, constitutionally limited government, property rights, and individual freedom. And my guest is Phil Kirpin. He's the president of American Commitment. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, obviously, it's funny we even have to talk about this, but we had a difficulty defining early on what infrastructure actually was. You and I would believe it'd be roads, bridges, and even broadband, but other people thought it was child care and what have you. The list of anything government can spend money on, but broadband is clearly going to be an issue over the next decade and years to come. And government seems to want to have more of a role and leave out the private sector. What say you?
Well, the amazing thing is that instead of looking at broadband and saying, wow, that's something we actually got right, they look at it and say, whoa, well, there's a problem because this is all private investment and competition, and we need government in there. And it's really bizarre because we probably had the best broadband experience of any place in the world when the COVID lockdowns hit and people switched to, you know, so many things that were normally offline went online, and there was a massive increase in the use of streaming video. And by and large, the internet was fine in the U.S. We didn't have breakdowns. We didn't have stalls. You know, you might have had a couple of times that your thing didn't work or whatever, but by and large, we passed that test with flying colors. It was a different story in other countries, including in Europe, where they had to throttle video traffic pretty regularly because they didn't have the capacity. And I think that's because they haven't had the approach that we've had in terms of having, you know, robust private competitors building out networks and competing with each other. They've had a sort of a government competition-oriented approach. And, you know, we should be saying, look, wow, broadband, great success. We did it with private investment. How do we replicate that in the other areas of U.S. infrastructure? How do we get more private money going into things like roads and bridges and water and sewer and make them more competitive and make, you know, and kind of get the same dynamic going there? Instead of doing that, we've got the opposite going on. They say, whoa, well, how do we make broadband like all these other areas of infrastructure that are government run and not doing so well? And they've got just massive amounts of money that have already gone to the states, the $350 billion in the last bill, the COVID bill. One of the uses of that they encourage is to use it for broadband, and then they want to do another huge amount of government money in this next bill, this infrastructure spending bill. And, you know, what they always do is, and we saw the same thing even going back to Obama, what they always do is they say, well, we need to reach the unserved areas. There are some areas that are unserved, remote rural areas, and, you know, we probably should figure out a way to get to them. But what happens every time instead, and I fear it's going to happen again this time, is they misdefine what unserved is. And this time what they're trying to do is say, well, you know, yeah, everyone pretty much in most areas has broadband under the old definition, but we're going to redefine it to say, you have to have a huge amount of upload speed that most of the country doesn't have. And then we're going to say now half the country is unserved under our new definition. And then voila, we can choose politically connected and favored companies and give them money to overbuild existing networks and pick off customers in urban and suburban areas. And, you know, those rural areas that are remote, they stay unserved. And so I fear we're going to have another huge waste of money, another huge, municipalities in liberal areas deciding to build out their own networks to compete with private networks or give money to favored competitors. And, they're not going to actually reach the people that are hard to reach because that's hard, and they haven't done that the last few times we've tried to do this.
Well, and that's part of the whole point is that anything dealing with government power, government mandates, government spending usually comes with good intentions, but unfortunately, never usually comes, as you put it, with good results. So what you're going to have is this idea that you have to go to the next mile. You have to reach that person in rural America. But most of the time, the way we do that is by the free market working itself out, by the demand coming from the people and working together to find how that works, rather than having some government bureaucrat come in and map us out and tell us how it's supposed to be. And then, like you said, it never really happens. And I mean, here in Michigan, we see it with our roads right now. And our roads are some of the worst in the country. And we keep pouring billions and billions and billions of dollars into it, and with very little to show.
Well, that's another thing that was really cynical and corrupt about what they did with the $350 billion that went to states and localities in the COVID bill is they prohibited it from being used for roads and bridges. You can use it for water projects, you can use it for sewer projects, you can use it for broadband projects, but you can't use it for roads and bridges. Well, why did they do that? Because they want that need to be unmet so that they can use it to, you know, drive another massive multi-trillion-dollar spending bill that they say is about roads and bridges, but that's going to be a tiny fraction of what that bill is for. So there's a lot of political exploitation going on with all of these giant spending bills as well. And you know, what we're going to get with this broadband money is, I fear, we're going to get a bunch of cities that say we're going to build our own network to compete with the phone and cable company that's already there. And we've seen that before. You know, every time that's tried, it ends up being a money hole. The federal money will dry up in a couple of years, and then they'll either put it in the electric rate base and jack up everyone's bills, or they'll raise local taxes, or they'll sell the thing off for a dollar to some private operator. And these are the things that typically happen with these government-run broadband networks. And you got to wonder, what the problem is that they think that they're solving. Because the phone and cable guys compete like maniacs for customers, and they've been investing, you know, billions of dollars of private money. And, you know, with few exceptions, it's really worked really well in most places. And, you know, if you were going to say as a public policy matter, we're going to target that remote rural area where maybe it's not commercially viable to build out, you know, I would do it with demand side subsidies. Yep. Give them a voucher so there is more demand and let the private sector meet it.
The private sector works, my friend. Phil Kirpin, American Commitment. He knows it. I know it. You know it. Phil, thanks for joining us. We'll be back here on The Steve Gruber Show. I am Jeff Wiggins, filling in for Steve.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
I'm Craig Stiles, Financial Advisor and Managing Director with Stiles, Miller & Clark Group, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. It's been a confusing year. especially when trying to cover your essentials, maintaining your lifestyle, and planning for the unexpected. Things we thought we knew change rapidly, affecting our comfort and forcing us to question what we are doing. Assurance is something we all seek, especially during times of financial uncertainty. I'm experiencing the same market conditions and living with similar issues that my clients seek to resolve. Saving for college, planning for retirement, building a business, or maintaining current lifestyles when those unexpected situations arise. You're unique. So are your financial goals. I welcome the opportunity to work with you to help provide certainty in your financial life. Please give me a call at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprises Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
Some high school game officials get involved because they decided it was time to stop complaining about the referees as a spectator and become one. They found it to be a rewarding and humbling experience. We always need more officials. To get involved, go to MHSAA.com. There's help wanted, just whistle. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.